It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast on KCIS. Daniel, hello there.
How are you, Mark?
Good to see you in studio once again. In very troubled times we're living through these days. You actually want to talk about that and why Christians have tribulation. Of course, the whole world seems to be going through a tribulation. Right? Are we in the Great Tribulation, do you think, the beginnings of it, as the Bible speaks of?
We could
That's
be.
That's a loaded question, it seems like.
It is. Well, it could be. I'm hearing bits and pieces of, remember, David Wilkerson's vision.
Mm.
And I actually looked up a video clip on that.
Saw New York being hit by a plague.
Yeah, it was like a vision of the U.S., and so it was across. And all I remember, recall as a young man hearing that, and that was back in, what, late 60s, early 70s, I think it was. But he was talking about, things coming, tribulation and persecution coming on the U.S. Well, I just remember him saying things happening in the streets that you would never imagine. So
he was around at the time of that tumultuous year of 1968. I just watched a documentary on that. Very similar time, a lot of tumult, Martin Luther King assassinated, Bobby Kennedy, a lot of racial upheaval at that time, and we're in very similar times, and you want to talk about how to keep our mind sound during times like this.
Yeah, and be encouraging to you, to people, because there are some good things happening. I want to talk a little bit about, where tribulation comes from. There are always misinformation out there, the viewpoints of people with a secular world view. Somebody posted a mime, why would you worship a God who created pain and suffering and call it good? And, as Christians, we hear a question like that, and of course we know that there's something fundamentally wrong with that perception, but a lot of times we don't have a clear answer on it. I want to talk a little bit about that, clarify some things that I've clarified before in shows before, and talk about where tribulation comes from, what the function of tribulation is, what does it do for us? And I've talked a little bit about that before, repeat some things that I've said before. Why does God allow it? Does God allow it? Can we say that God allows it? And what do we mean when we say that God allows it? And some good things that are happening. I want to talk a little bit about some of those things. And then I want to talk about, can we survive it? Because I get a lot of people, I shouldn't say a lot of people, but sometimes it feels like a lot of people. I get people just feeling like I'm overwhelmed. I don't think I can take any more. And of course, one of the things that we have readily at hand is medication. And my advice to Christians in this situation is, what I would like to tell people is that if you get to the place where you think you can't do without medication, I personally would like to see you take the mildest medication at the lowest dosage, because the thing about medication is if I medicate enough, I don't have to pray. And the whole purpose of this tribulation, there's something fundamental about tribulation that's here to mature us. So let's start in here and see how far we get today.
We're asking some big questions here. Why does God allow suffering? Isn't that like the top three, or why is there evil? Maybe the same kind of question.
Yeah, why does God allow? And the question there was the what I have underlined there is the word allow, and can we really say that God allows suffering? So consider this question then: if I were to say, why does my body allow a fever when I'm already sick with the flu? And you think, well, that's kind of an odd way of viewing a fever, because a fever is part of the body's way of dealing with the flu. It's not unlike that with tribulation and emotional pain, suffering, we call it. This is God's way, and I've spoken about this before. This is how God's nature deals with sin. And so it's difficult for us. Our knowledge of God, if you stop to think about it, we don't have a knowledge of God that's outside of the context of sin and the work of sin. That's the only way we know God. We don't know God apart from our experience with sin. And so it's unfair and unwise for us to try to put God in a box and say this is what God's like. This, you know, he's it appears to us that he's allowing tribulation, or he's causing tribulation. Sometimes Bible language might even sound that way, but again, we have to realize that we're trying to put God, a God that we can't see and can't fully understand, in the context of a human experience that is fundamentally one of sin and reconciliation. So I'm just going to put some of my thoughts out here, and you can check them out scripturally and talk to your pastors about them, see if you think these line up. I don't think that God created tribulation by fiat. That is, it was not as though God were up in the clouds somewhere and saying, I need to build some hurdles so that we can make a bit of a game out of this, so I'm going to create some tribulation and suffering. Tribulation and suffering is a result of sin, just like the fever is the result of an infection. It's the body's way of dealing with the infection. So suffering, like the fever, is our experience of God's natural dealing with sin. Now, it's a little hard to wrap our minds around that, but that's kind of a starting point. We have to think of God as having a nature, just like my body has a nature, and when something violates the nature of God, there's a process by which God's nature deals with it, and we experience that as tribulation and suffering. And we experience the fever when our body experiences an infection or an intrusion like that. Our body has an immune system, and it deals with that infection in a certain way that is not always pleasant. And so those things are parallels. I've talked before about why we suffer, and I remind you again about this, the book. A great book, In His Image, by Dr. Paul Brand. The name of the book again, In His Image, Dr. Paul Brand. We don't wonder about suffering. We don't have any questions about suffering as when we expect it to be part of a productive process. For example, working out to build muscles or running to prepare for a marathon, and we suffer, but we don't question the suffering. We don't say, why does my body ache just because I ran 21 miles? That's part of the process. So we don't have a question about that. It's when we don't see a reason for suffering that it seems excessive or cruel or uncalled for. But we have to understand that the nature of God relates to sin the way the nature of my human body relates to infection, because we are in his image and we're after his nature. So what about the function of tribulation, and how does that serve God's purpose? So I have done here that the function of tribulation is twofold. Tribulation unites the body. That's one thing that it does. It unites the body. It unifies the body. The natural application would be that if I were to injure my hand, being a construction guy, I use this symbolism.
The counselor who's also a carpenter.
Yeah, hitting my thumb with a hammer. Uh-huh. I did that a few times. Mm. So what I know about the body is when I hit my thumb with a hammer, every cell in my body from my thumb to my toes is almost immediately notified that there's damage in the body, and every cell somehow communicates back to the brain to let the brain know right where the injured part was. Now, so that's the way when my body suffers, it becomes a unified body, and that's the way it works. And we find this also in the body of Christ. When there's spiritual suffering, it pulls the body of Christ together. I recently was contacted. It was a God thing because it was an unlikely contact by a pastor in Pakistan. She was searching for her brother, and we have the same name, first name, and so she saw my website, went to my website, listened to some podcast, read some articles, and then contacted me. And I've had a relationship with their church a little bit, and this whole COVID thing, they're under very similar restraints there in Pakistan. Plus, this is a very heavily populated or Muslim-populated area, and Christians are under additional restrictions and pressure and persecution. And so But the thing about the persecution is it makes us very acutely aware of the fact that here we are on opposite sides of the world, and yet we're members of the same body. And if that member in that congregation suffers, this member in this congregation suffers, like the cells in the body. So tribulation has that way in the natural realm and the spiritual realm of unifying the body. Another thing that tribulation does is it's associated with purification. In the natural, we can think of the way the fever breaks, the body sweats, and the impurities come out of the body through that respiratory system, working out, breaking a sweat, those kinds of things also in the natural realm are ways of the body purifying through tribulation or testing, you might say. And in the spiritual realm, it's very similar. The spiritual, it distinguishes and it matures true believers. Seen as judgment, if we think of tribulation as judgment, as we often do, but we need to correctly think of judgment as recognize that judgment and God's judgment is first a plumb line. He's not his judgment is not just to bat people down. His judgment is to bring correction, much like a builder would judge the plumb of a door jamb or a window by using a plumb line. It's a judgment. It's either correct or it's not correct, and then the plumb line is used to bring it into correction. So thought of as judgment, tribulation is used to right the body of Christ, correct the body of Christ, in order that the body of Christ can be seen as the plumb line of the world to correct the world, and all this for the sake of those who would be saved. God's ultimate plan has always been to save all that would be saved, build the body of Christ. We have references in Scripture. Let me just point to a couple of these real quickly. 2 Peter 3:9, where it talks about, God is not slack concerning his promises, such as men count slackness, but his long-suffering to usward, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, you know, tribulation, this long drawn out suffering, is all toward the end goal that last person would be saved. He's not willing that any should perish. Some will perish, but by tribulation being drawn out and by Christians going through tribulation and having a place for the secular world to look and see how Christians are handling this. In Revelations, there's just quickly, Revelations 9, 20 and 21, there, if we read through this, we read where there's an angel that it has poured out the plagues upon the earth, and he says, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet they did not repent. And it lists what they didn't repent from. But the point is, they didn't repent. And what that tells me is the plagues were meant to give them an opportunity to repent. But they didn't repent. And then in the next verse, it says that verse 6, it talks about the angel coming down from heaven and declaring that there would be no more time. So time had run out. When we come back from the break, because time has run out, when we come back from the break, we'll continue on and talk about some good things happening.
There are some good things happening even in the midst of tribulation, troubled times, why Christians have tribulation, our subject this week, a very timely one, on the Sound Mind broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. Daniel, have you started doing counseling back in person yet?
I counsel in person. I still have the offices in Kirkland and Edmonds, and I still do a lot of counseling via Skype.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how do people contact you?
Yeah, at the phone number, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, Counselor and Life Coach. Where marriage is concerned, an ounce of prevention is worth a lot more than a pound of cure. Too many couples start off with misconceptions and then wait until the damage is done to seek counsel. As a marriage counselor, I help couples understand both the purpose and process of marriage, and I teach essential tools of communion. If you're married or thinking about marriage and want to get started right, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169. Hello, this is Daniel Pryor, host of the Sound Mind broadcast show here on KCIS. Right now, I'm doing a lot of Skype counseling, and this is a great way to get counseling in this time. So if that interests you, give me a call at 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169, or contact me through my website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel this week discussing tribulation, troubled times, how God uses these events in our lives to work something good. And boy, he must be working something really good with the kind of stuff we've been going through these last few weeks and months here in the United States and in our community.
Yeah.
Our own area, Seattle, seems to be ground central for a lot of real confusion and anxiety-producing situations.
Yeah, and I was just thinking about that this morning coming in. It's not by chance that it's Seattle, and I don't understand why, but it's not by chance that the evil is centralized here in Seattle, and that usually points to something that God is going to do specifically in that area. So I'm not a prophet, but you know, whenever evil increases, God raises up a standard, and so I think we can look at something. I've always thought that many of the churches in Seattle are too liberal. Well, maybe this is something that's waking the churches up. I once read that it's been some years ago, but Eastern, the 425 area was had the most number per capita of mega churches in the country, but it was also one of the least churched areas in the country. So I think God is going to do a big work here, and what's our part? Yeah, it's got a lot to do with us. One of the things, the good things that's happening, you see the sometimes we might wonder, well, why do we have to go through it? I mean, once we've been saved, why do we have to go through the tribulation? If you think though that if the pressure is on is allowed, and I say allowed, we kind of kicked that around at the beginning. Let me use the word allowed without defining it, if you will. It may be an incorrect way of thinking of why tribulation goes on, just like it might be an incorrect way of thinking of my body allowing the fever because I have the flu. It's not so much that it's allowed, it's that it's a necessary part of the process. Remember when Jesus was in the garden and he prayed to the Father, and he said, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. The unspoken answer to that prayer is, well, there was no other way. There was no other way. But if you think of God as a God who could do anything, well, certainly he could have thought of another way. No, there was no other way. And so we're left with the conclusion that God has a nature which he cannot violate, and that nature dictates that sin, which violates the nature of God, has to be dealt with in a prescribed manner. God can't change that manner because he can't change who he is. And so if the world is going to go through tribulation in order that that last person might be saved, where would the world look in order to see a correct direction? Well, they'd have to have, there would have to be believers there. I'm not preaching post-trib rapture, right. But as you were asking earlier, is this the beginning of the Great Tribulation? Now, I don't know, but it's certainly tribulation, and it's great. But the thing is that it's going to be like, I see it as kind of like in Revelation, says it's kind of being ramped up. It's like a rheostat, you know, and God is, you know, saying, well, what's it going to take to get that last hard nut to crack, that last person that would be saved? You know, that last person that's going to be saved is going to be the guy or gal who has held out the longest, and it's going to take some pressure to get them to turn to God. Well, there's going to have to be some believers on earth, or there'll be no way for them to know what direction that they should turn. So we're like a city on a hill. And people are beginning to ask, pastors too, and lay people and pastors beginning to ask, you know, what is God up to? Why is this going on? Next week, I'm going to talk about laying every weight aside. And we're going to talk about the race that we're in, but your mind might go there even as we talk here. People are beginning to focus, the good part of this, people are beginning to focus on the health of the body of Christ. They're beginning to focus on prayer, because we have to.
You were saying, too, you're going to share here some good news from Minneapolis. Now, this is something I have not seen on television.
Yeah.
So tell us about what you've been
seeing. This just came up on a Facebook post. The very place that this man Floyd was killed, which is what we're pointing at as having started all of this, Black Lives Matter, which was just is just a cloak for hatred for God, I believe. But this at the very place where this man was killed and when the where the protests actually began, it had turned into, and I'm not sure how recent this is, but I just recently saw the post, in the midst of these protests, you see these black people taking the microphone and turning it into a street
revival meeting.
And we
see people being
baptized and and coming to Christ in the midst of this protest. So let's not miss the big picture. God is using this, and he's not out of control. In God's divine providence and wisdom, everything works together for good to those who called according to his purpose. But it has to be according to his purpose. So it's really encouraging to see people focusing on the things that we should have been focusing on, serving one another, fellowship. What I think Paul means when he talks about rightly discerning the body of Christ, it's a whole other radio show. But yes, pastors and people asking and people of the world posting things like, how could you serve a God who creates pain and suffering and call it good? You know, those kinds of rhetorical questions that actually have a very good answer. But asking what's God doing? That's good. It's getting the church. God is getting our attention. Another question then is, that I hear from people is, can we survive? Because I have people who, let's say their lives were difficult enough before this began. Maybe they had chronic illnesses. Or they had children that had walked away from the faith. And let me just say something about children that have walked away from the faith and have gotten involved in some of this. You think that they're not, a lot of them, rethinking this right now? God's going to use this to bring these kids
back.
In the
absence of religion, in a generation that's been raised without the Ten Commandments in school and stuff, that's what a lot of this is. They're looking for meaning, and so they think they're going to find it in these social justice things. There's nothing wrong with social justice. Jesus taught about it, but it seems to be it's a desire to find meaning, and I think it's going to come up wanting for a lot of these people. They're going to realize it's empty.
And there are some Christian kids that have gotten caught up in these movements, and they've taken into, they've kind of like been the positive, if you can think of the Trojan horses being positive. These Christian kids have maybe stepped away from God, and they've gone into these circumstances, but they've taken some light with them. And when they come back out, they're going to bring some converts with them. So God's going to use all these things. We just need to, instead of fret, we need to be praying. Can we survive? I want to look at 1 Corinthians 10:13 and break this verse down. No temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will, and the correct, more powerful translation here, but will, along with the temptation, also make a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. So what does it mean? God will not suffer you. Let's say that probably means God will not allow you to suffer or be tempted above what you're able. So the word tempt here can be used in a positive or negative way. If dad or mom says to the kid, "You're testing me," and that's not a good thing. Or he can say, "Oh, you're testing me." It's a positive thing. So we shouldn't be confused by this. The word tempt is used in the same way in the Greek, both positive and negative. This has a positive meaning. Perizo is the Greek word. It means to prove, to make proof of, or to make a trial for, or to seek to influence, or to test. So it's a good thing. God's not going to have this proving go on beyond what you're able, but he will allow a way of escape. What is escape? It's like an exit door. But you can't just go through the wall or the window, because there's a place that you're supposed to exit. There's an outcome. There's a departure. So I want you to listen to this and listen tight. God, the verse says that God will never allow us to be tempted. He won't cause us to be tempted above or tested above what we're able. But I want to point this out. We will always be tested beyond what we think we're able to bear. We won't be tested beyond what we're able to bear, but we'll always be tested beyond what we think we're able to bear, because that's the margin of faith. Until we get to that point, we're not doing anything. If you're working out and you want to build muscles, you have to go beyond what you think you can do, or you won't build muscles. Mm. So the Western church is weak. We need our muscles built. Prayer, study, presence of the presence of God, a sense of the presence of God, fellowship, compassion, faith, hope, courage. There's a finish line, but it has to do with completing the imperative work that God has in us, and to remember that all good things work together for good to those who are called according to His purpose.
Good thoughts, good sound teaching, sound mind. That's the goal of Daniel Pryor's work as a counselor and life coach. And if people need help during these very troubling times to sort some of this out, how do they get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, the phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. People also email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. You're going to find these podcasts there, so you can rehear these and think about them again.
Kirkland and Edmonds locations, and yes, you're doing counseling in person again, but also through Skype if people prefer that. Always great information. Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.